is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The members of the Cincinnati Park Board and the City Council will soon have to decide how to juggle several proposals for the future of Burnet Woods. The city created the 89-acre park in the 1870s to provide a green respite from urban life. Over the years, officials have added an artificial lake, a bandstand, the Trailside Museum, an architectural monument, and a fountain. During the last few years, several plans for upgrading the park have been proposed, but the possibility of relocating the Clifton Cultural Arts Center, which is losing its home in the old Clifton School to Burnet Woods, has made the decision a bit more pressing. In addition to the CCAC, a local organization has proposed creating an active urban wilderness center. Each of these ideas may have very good things about them in themselves, but how will they impact the park's function as a green space? A community conversation drew over 160 people, and today we are joined by two people who will have to now make some decisions. First, Clifton resident and member of Cincinnati City Council, David Mann, and the director of the Cincinnati Parks, Wade Walcott. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Might say that yesterday on the show, we asked people, and also online, we asked people to, if they wanted to weigh in on this, not just to wait to make calls, although I hope people will also call, but to send us an email or a voicemail. And we have really been inundated with lots of viewpoints and lots of questions. So I'm going to try to weave those in to my questions and whatever. So Wade, let's start out here by, aside from any particular proposal, not looking at any of these two proposals that are out there, how would you describe the strengths and weaknesses of Burnet Woods as an urban park?
Well, sure. I would say thanks for the opportunity to talk about this a little bit. And I'd say our number one goal is how do we get more people to our parks? Every park throughout the city, how do we get more people in there? And that's what we're looking at right now. Burnet Woods is obviously a gem to the city, and it's a little what you would call a natural oasis in the heart of the city. As you said, it's close to 90 acres of really great vegetation, a great pond, walking trails. It's really a place to escape from the urban hustle and bustle, right? And so there's an example of a few of those strengths there. It's a place for people to get away and have respite. As far as opportunities, I think there's opportunities to get more people in Burnet Woods. And how do we do that? And those are the things that we're interested in exploring. And to do that, to find out opportunities to get more people in the parks, I'm most interested in engaging with the community. It's their parks, and that's what we're here for.
Okay. David, you're a longtime resident of Clifton. I'm sort of asking you to wear that hat at the moment,
sure.
Not just your city council hat. But one of we've had a couple of people write in who are residents of Clifton. Andrew Furry, who is from Clifton, says, "The majority of residents I know do not currently use Burnet Woods. Friends tell me that one of the primary reasons they do not visit the park is because they do not feel safe in the park. Whether their safety concerns are real or imagined, it strikes me as a serious problem that a common perception of Burnet Woods is empty, run down, unpatrolled, unsafe space for illicit behavior." How much, either personally or neighbors, do you hear that view?
It's a beautiful acreage, and Wade is right. It's located in a very good place for the community I happen to live in. But as you go into Burnet Woods, because there aren't enough people, it's easy as you pursue a trail or get a little bit away from where you would expect to see people to feel a little concerned. Now, I have no idea. I haven't heard that there have been incidents. I'm sure there are some statistics on problems. But I think it's a legitimate concern in the minds of some.
So this gets back to Wade's point about getting
–
putting people in a space makes it a safer space. It's not just patrolling with police.
Sure,
but
getting more activity in the parks and having more opportunities to have moms in there pushing strollers is a really high-level indicator of people's perceptions and safety of being in the park. So those are one of the things that we're exploring.
On the other hand, Kathy Hedin, who I suspect you know, David, I certainly do, points out that Burnet Woods is approximately 50% of its original size because a lot of the southern portion of what was originally part of Burnet Woods was taken by the University of Cincinnati. And then even as late as 1950, another chunk was taken in order to build the buildings along Martin Luther King Drive. And so she's saying that what remains of Burnet Woods is now a rare urban preserve, home to diverse plant and animal species. The few structures within the park serve only to provide enrichment and enlightenment for park visitors. So that's sort of the other view, that the park has already been chopped up a lot over time, and we have to be careful about doing any more of that.
Sure. We're not interested in chopping up the park at all, and we're not interested in taking away from the beauty and from the inhabitants and really deter the ecosystem at all. We're looking at ways of how can we enhance the park? How can we enhance the programming and the experiences that people have in the parks?
I have to say, though, several emails that we received, their view was that what you were going to be doing was leasing out chunks of the park property, in effect, giving up control over park property. You know, that's not chopping it up. That's not moving it out and letting somebody else take over it, but sort of come in and control parts of what's inside the park. I mean, that's a little bit different view than what you just presented.
Yes, we're not even close to getting that far into the details about what agreement would be, but these would be partnerships first and foremost, and how each organization can work together to help out the park.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple of these. David, do you want to say something?
Well, I just want to say if anything changes, it will be after a lot more things happen. If there's a process that leads to change, we're very early
right.
in the process. Wade did what a parks director should do. He scheduled a meeting in the community that's most concerned. There was a huge turnout. It turned out that I was across the street attending my sixth grade grandson's graduation. And as an elected official, I wish I'd had a chance to be in both places because there were a whole bunch of people there. That's what you do. You engage. What do you think? And I'm sure that Wade and his people and the Parks Board will take that into account as they decide whether to do anything, and if so, what the parameters might be that govern the discussion.
Well, we have a caller who's called in, and I'm afraid if we don't take these in order,
sure.
we'll get lost behind. So, Jody, you have observation, and I think you're a Clifton resident, which is sort of where we started here today.
Hey, yes, I am. I actually live across the street from Burnet Woods and have lived in Clifton now for almost 20 years. And I walk through Burnet Woods pretty much every day. I see lots of people who walk to UP, walk to work at the EPA. And I think among Clifton residents, there is a perception that Burnet Woods is unsafe. And I really feel, unfortunately, that Clifton residents don't use Burnet Woods. They are kind of afraid of it, and I feel like if more residents would walk through and see people enjoying the park and having picnics and fishing and playing in the playground, you know, that they would find what Burnet Woods has to offer. And I truly believe that building this 25,000 square foot cultural arts center next to the very underutilized and almost never open Trailside Nature Center would completely destroy that part of Burnet Woods, which is the one that most people see, you know, when they enter the woods.
Okay.
So, yeah, I really feel like the park should not be leasing park space.
Well, we're definitely going to get to that proposal. But your point is, if you use the park, as you do, you don't find it scary, you don't find it unsafe, and you think more people could do that. That sort of approach sounds very similar to me, what I hear a lot of times about people, what they say about downtown Cincinnati. Oh, I'm afraid to go there. And it's like, well, how long has it been since you've been there? Oh, I haven't been there for years.
And the reason like, the reason that downtown and OTR feel so much safer today than they did 8, 10, 12 years ago is because of the number of people that there are. We have safety with humanity around us. So I think it's the same thing with Burnett Woods. The more usage we can get from our fellow citizens, the safer we're all going to feel.
Wade, let's take a look at a couple of these specific proposals. And before we take a break, we can maybe take a look at the Urban Wilderness Center. Just real quickly, what will that be and what impact will that have on the park? What will it do for or what will it impact the park?
Sure. This is an organization whose mission is connecting kids to nature. And that is obviously right in line with the Board of Park Commissioners. And we know that more and more kids are not connecting with nature, and they're spending more and more hours of every single day with screen time. Whether it's
did you listen to the show yesterday?
No, I'm sorry, I must have missed it.
That's what we were talking about.
It's handheld devices, it's computers, and it's TVs. And what is happening as a result if kids aren't connecting to nature? And they're what is commonly referred to as nature deficit disorder from Richard Louv's book, The Last Child in the Woods.
Yes.
And this is a big problem. And this is a big problem for children and their development and their social skills and even through STEM. And so this organization, the Camping Education Foundation, has had their roots in Cincinnati for decades. And this is what they're about. And so if there's an opportunity for us as the Board of Park Commissioners to connect and partner with another organization whose intention is to have some sort of outdoor classroom space, but also some sort of small facility that serves as an urban wilderness center that children, regardless of income, regardless of demographic, can participate in this program, connect to nature, and have experiential learning and leadership development, then that's something I think it's worth exploring. And because of these like similarities and missions and visions, that this organization is willing to work with the park board to remove invasive species, to clear up sight lines, and to really enhance this concept known as CEPTED. It's crime prevention through environmental design is what that's called. And so some of what we hear oftentimes of people's perceptions of not feeling safe or secure, this organization and the others that we're talking to are willing to all pitch in to help lessen that.
Wade, I just want to make one follow-up question on this urban wilderness effort. You say the footprint of whatever structure would be needed there is small, but it's beyond the Trailside Museum. Is that correct?
I think it's still up in the air. Because of where we are in the process for both proposals, there is no definite footprint and there's no definite location. Both organizations are still open to moving a potential location around.
Okay. I want to keep going with the telephone calls. So we have a call from Chico. And Chico, what is your observation question?
A couple of things. I'm not a resident of Clifton, but I live in Cincinnati. And no, I'm happy to go downtown. I'm not afraid of downtown. And I've been to Burnett Woods numerous times, but either by myself or with my dog, and I've never felt unsafe. And I had and I love the Clifton Cultural Arts Center too. I've played music there. However, it's listening to this program when I heard that the proposed building or proposed structure is 25,000 square feet. That's enormous. I mean, I just think it's inappropriate. The park needs to stay a park. It needs to be a green space. Green space means it's green. Okay? That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. So this question of the Cincinnati Cultural, or pardon me, the Clifton Cultural Arts Center, they're losing their space in Clifton Schools down the street, and they have to go someplace. So the proposal, and given what Wade has said several times about that these are in the early stages, I'm almost hesitant to say this. David, what do we know about the substance of how much space that would really take? Is the 25,000 square foot a fair estimate? And secondly, what do you think its pros and cons for Burnett Woods are?
CUAC, Clifton, mm-hmm. or Clifton United, or Clifton Arts Center. It's been a great asset to the community, and it's unfortunate they lost the opportunity to use the old Clifton School building. And they put a lot of money into it, and the school board had to pay them back for what they put into it. And I think their lease expires like in September. So whatever they do, it won't involve the parks or any place permanently for a while. I think they're flexible. I mean, I don't think they're talking about anything as big as Clifton School. In fact, I think for some purposes, Clifton School was probably too big for them. Right. I have
older space too.
Yeah. Difficult, very expensive, sure. And 25,000 square feet. I have no idea what kind of footprint that is, and I don't know how much flexibility there may be. And obviously, if there are changes, there has to be some compatibility between our collective vision for the parks for Burnett Woods and any institution that might be allowed to share that space.
Okay. I because we're getting so many calls, I want to short circuit and pull from some of the emails that we got. Wade, one of the questions that – or one of the observations that a number of people made is it's not just the building for the Cultural Arts Center that might be, but that they would require a significant parking lot, which means hard surface, runoff, raises other environmental issues. There's also a professor from the University of Cincinnati, a biology professor, who wanted to make the point that that particular space that supposedly is being talked about, he referred to it as the meadow, is particularly attractive to lots of small animals and also could disrupt some of the bird migration that goes through Burnett Woods. So from a park perspective, park director's perspective, what would you say about the Cultural Arts Center here?
Well, I think first we're always going to be about advancing conservation and understanding the impacts it has, anything we do on the environment. I also know that CCAC hasn't fully committed to one particular location or the other. And again, I don't want to be a broken record here, but we are early in the process. They have presented one conceptual idea of where it could be, and that was located close to Trailside, and that was already along an existing road. And I believe in that original proposal, they had contemplated angled parking along the road that was already paved. So it's, again, looking at getting impact like this that we're getting from your callers and from the emailers and having these community conversations is very vital, is important to us. So that's what we're gathering this information to see. Is there a possibility this could happen? What are the impacts and how do we lessen those impacts?
I would just like to cite another email before we go on to another caller. And this is, again, from people who you will know well, Jan and Cheryl Checo. Gerald, of course, worked for the park board for years. Pointing out that, although I think this was written by Jan, pointing out that over in Eden Park, there's a number of cultural institutions that are in that park, Crone Conservatory, Art Museum, Playhouse in the Park, Music Hall's right across from Washington Park, that this interaction between culture and natural setting is not – it's not like this is a new kind
that's
of
right.
proposal.
That's right. It's another proposal that is done throughout the country, but I want to make sure that everyone knows that we're sensitive to the impacts of what this could be. And I also wanted to point out, I do have previous experience working for the National Audubon Society. And in that experience, I helped finish off a lead nature center, a lead facility, in the middle of an important bird area. And I recognize that Burnett Woods is an IBA, an important bird area. And some believe that you can't have any kind of construction or development. And I'm here to say through experience, I've been a part of National Audubon where we built a nature center in the middle of an IBA. And I think this is something that we can explore here in Burnett Woods. In fact, I'm really interested in talking with a local chapter of Audubon as well to see what involvement they would like to have as well.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. In fact, we got a bunch of callers backed up here. Rama, do you have an observation? I'm going to ask everybody to be pretty brief and to the point because we only have 5 minutes left, and I want to get as many people in as possible.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for letting me speak. My name is Rama Kasturi, and I'm the chair of the Parks Committee for our local council, Clifton Town Meeting. Just wanted to say that it's so unfortunate that they talk about bringing more people into the parks when there is no money to shore up the park for the people who already enjoy it, like I have for 23 straight years, almost every day with my dog. And also, there's no accounting on the part of parks in terms of how many people actually use the park or what is the consequence to the existing infrastructure of 40,000 more people per year, as is proposed to be brought in by Clifton Cultural Arts Center. There's a lot to be answered for by parks in terms of why they neglected their urban jewel and haven't put any money into it. And I have not yet gotten any information from the parks director with respect to what exactly is going on with what money is available to be used in Burnett Woods. So thank you for calling.
And let me ask Wade. Wade, you're brand new here in Cincinnati. So, you know, you're free to make comments. What do you think about the maintenance and upkeep of Burnett Woods over the years?
Well, I can't speak to over the years. I can speak to approximately 11 months.
Well,
somewhere along those lines.
You've got to know more than that.
Well, honestly, as far as past maintenance and upkeep, I couldn't speak to that too well. But I can say that all of our parks right now is a perfect time. We're in June. Every year for the last I don't know how many years, the city's overall budget has been more of a pattern of decline than it has been going up or staying the same. And I know the parks budget has participated in filling that gap as well. So some of our overall budget has declined, and as right now, it's forecasted to do the same.
So my current gig, Dan, is chair of the Budget and Finance Committee, and it's exactly as Wade describes it. There's an enormous list of deferred maintenance in parks, recreation department, the cost of personnel, the cost of everything else, revenue system that doesn't grow to match those things makes it very difficult. It's all we're able to do. We're going to adopt a balanced budget next week, which means we don't spend more money than we have. But no one is claiming we're meeting needs. The mayor's changes in the city manager's budget added $500,000 for parks, $500,000 for recreation. But I agree with Wade. That just begins to scratch the surface of what needs to be done. When I go through Burnett Woods as a park user, you know, there are pathways, there are steps, there are all sorts of things that ought to be improved. The money's not there. So I don't agree with Rama that there's any suspicion that there's money that is being misused or not used properly. There's not enough money. That's the reality.
And this is what causes us to think outside the box and be innovative and look at outside partners, and not just any partner. We're certainly not proposing a Walmart and Starbucks, but we're looking for organizations that have similar missions, visions, and values. And what better organizations are there out there that want to provide experiential learning, connecting kids to nature?
Okay. Sue Ellen has also got a question. And Sue Ellen, what is your – I think you got a question for David.
Yes. I would like to ask David whether these proposals would be looked at in the context of the city's new green plan. The principles and goals of the green plan might shed light on which proposal should be undertaken or so forth.
Well, that's a good question. The green plan was approved by council. This is the second plan. The revised version was adopted by council 3-4 weeks ago. It has a lot of aspirational direction, and yes, it should definitely, whatever might be discussed and brought forward, we would be very interested at the council level to understand how it's consistent with, how it feathers the goals of the green plan.
Okay. So that big context. And is the green plan something that came out of the parks?
No, it was multiple departments contributed to it.
Wade participated. I happened to be chair of the committee that was appointed by the mayor. It was led staff-wise by our Larry Falcon of the Office of Environmental Sustainability, and we had a cross-section of city folks, volunteers, Brewster Rhodes, and the like.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere,
yeah.
And for good reason.
So we are out of time, but I want to thank David Mann and Wade Walcott for joining us today. I want to thank all of our listeners, both who sent in emails ahead of time and the people who called today, for making this a very lively discussion. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.